Hi, this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours, and I want to thank you so much for calling in on this Saturday evening. In Boquete, where I am, it has been raining and foggy since about 11 o'clock. So it's a little bit chilly today, only 67 degrees, and I've got my socks on and my sweatpants on and everything to try to stay warm and a little jacket. It's a little bit chilly. I have a fireplace at my house, and I've even thought about getting a fire started in the fireplace maybe after this call. Usually it's not this chilly, but it's been raining all day long, so that's what the weather's like here today. So I have a couple of important announcements to make, and then I'm going to start talking about getting a visa, why you need to get a visa, how to get a visa, and the best time to get a visa. But before I start with the whole visa talk, I wanted to make an announcement. You know, we just started offering private tours. The borders of Panama are going to open up on the 12th of October. And even though we could technically do it, we could go ahead and start doing our Panama relocation tours, we're just not ready to start doing that yet because some hotels are not open yet, some restaurants are not open yet, and I just don't feel comfortable having 10 or 15 people on a bus traveling around the country just yet. Hopefully, that'll happen soon, but we're not ready to do that yet. So I know many of you are anxious to come and check out Panama now that the borders are finally going to be open. So we just started offering private tours that will be available starting right after the borders open on the 12th of October. Our private tours, we think, are a safer way for you to explore Panama right now because it would just be the people in your family, maybe one or two people, three people at the most, and the private tour guide. That's all that would be on it. And the other thing is they're super affordable. They're only $200 a day. And that includes all the information you're going to get from the private tour guide, also your lunch. They can also help you by picking you up at the airport. They can help make hotel reservations for you. Of course, they'll be showing you some rentals, show you the best place to shop. So they'll just make sure that you understand what it's like to live in the area that you're most interested in. Unlike our Panama relocation tours, which is 7 days going all the way across the country, the private tours are very specific for the areas that you're most interested. Some of you have been doing research about Panama for years. You've probably been on every single conference call that I've done. You've watched every YouTube video that we have and that other people have as well. And you already have a pretty good idea of two or three different places that you're most interested in. So the great thing about the private tours is they're just for specific areas. If you know you're interested in just living in the Coronado area, we have private tour guides for that. We have three private tour guides for the Coronado area. If you're real curious about what it's like to live in Panama City, we have private tour guide for that area. Maybe some of you saw the new video that we just put out of Phil that lives in the Azuero Peninsula just outside of Las Tablas. He's one of our private tour guides for that particular area. And today we just added a new tour guide, an expat tour guide for the Boquete area. We already have two tour guides there, but we just needed to add another one, so we've added a new tour guide. And that information is, if you go to the online Panama Relocation Guide, whenever you purchase that, then we have all the tour guide information is right in the online Panama Relocation Tour Guide. So that was the big announcement, is that we have added a new tour guide for the Boquete area. It's a lady that's moved to Panama in 2004, and she stayed here for a long time, and then she thought, well, maybe it'd be nice to just try something different, so she moved to Ecuador for a couple of years, and she really, really missed Boquete, Panama, so she moved back to Boquete, and that's where she is right now. So she has a wealth of information and a wealth of knowledge about the area. In addition to living here for such a long time, she's bought houses and fixed them up and built houses and sold them and rents out houses. And she knows all the social places, all the best places to go shopping. So she'll be a huge asset for our private tour guide team in the Boquete area. So once again, just log in to your online Panama Relocation Guide and you can see all the details about the private tour guides. And if you're curious about the private tours, just go to Panama Relocation Tours, and underneath that tab that says Tours, there's a drop-down menu and you can click on Private Tours to get more information about it. Private tours are only $200 a day, so it's super affordable also. Okay, so now I want to talk about getting a visa. We've had so many questions about getting a visa, so I thought it'd be a good idea to do a conference call about it. So first of all, I want to talk about why you need to think about getting a visa if you want to live to Panama. There's a lot of confusion of people thinking that just to come to Panama, they have to get what's called a tourist visa. For the majority of countries, the only thing you need to come to Panama to check it out is just your passport. There are a few countries that they have to go to the Panamanian consulate or Panamanian embassy, and they do have to get a special visa to be able to just come and visit the country. But for all of North America and Europe and most countries, all you need to come and check out Panama is just your passport. So there is no such thing as a tourist visa. It doesn't exist. All it is your passport with a stamp in it that said you came to visit. So I wanted to clear that up first. Now let's talk about why you need to get a visa. As a tourist, you can come to Panama and you can stay for 6 months. You can visit for 6 months. But after that, the law says you should leave for at least 30 days before you can come back. So you can see how if you came here and you stayed for 6 months and you had to leave for 30 days and you came for 6 months and you had to leave for 30 days, that would get old pretty fast, plus it would be expensive. So the solution is to get a visa. A residency visa. And a residency visa allows you to live in Panama indefinitely. There are about 15 different kinds of visas. The two most popular visas are the Pensionado visa and the Friendly Nation visa. Those are also what they call fast track visas. They're really fast to get, and they're the least expensive visa of any visa that's offered in Panama. So let me talk a little bit about each one of those. The Pensionado visa is exclusively for people that plan to move to Panama and they just want to be retired. They don't want to work. You cannot work if you get a Pensionado visa. You can't sell any products. You can't sell any services. Unless you have an online business, that would be okay. But inside the country, you can't sell anything. So the Pensionado visa is exclusively for retirees. The requirements for getting the Pensionado visa is you have to present the two main things you have to present is, one, anybody for any visa, you have to present a national criminal report. So if you're from the United States, that would be like an FBI report. The other thing that you need to get the Pensionado visa is you have to prove that you're a retiree and that you can support yourself. The requirements are that you make at least $1,000 a month as an individual and lifetime income, like a pension from a job or Social Security, so that's the main requirement, is that you do that. So you have to have the FBI report or national criminal report. You also have to prove that you have lifetime income of either Social Security or pension from a job. Panama does not consider rental income. If you have a big 401k and you're drawing dividends off of it, that's not going to count. They do not do annuities. None of those things count. It could be like a government pension. It could be if you were in the military and you have a military retirement. Those things are all okay, but it has to be something that's a lifetime income, something that you're going to get for the rest of your life, not just a temporary, like a disability income that's temporary. So it has to be something that's lifetime to qualify for the Pensionado visa. The Pensionado visa is also the most affordable visa to get because you are going to have some attorney fees. For a couple, it's going to be about $1,500 to get a Pensionado visa. But because you're a retiree, Panama treats retirees, they roll out the red carpet and they give you special treatment. So they waive all the government fees for getting a visa if you're a Pensionado visa. So those fees, I will explain to you what those would be, because if you get a Friendly Nation visa, the fees are not waived. You have to pay the government fees. So the Friendly Nation visa is the other visa that's the most popular visa. And it's a great visa to get if you don't qualify for the Pensionado visa because you're not drawing Social Security. You don't have a pension from a job yet. So then you can switch over to the Friendly Nation visa. The other thing is if you think you want to sell any products or services here in Panama, you would need to get the Friendly Nation visa because with that visa, you're allowed to get a work permit so that you can work in Panama. Foreigners are not allowed to work in Panama. They can't sell any products or offer any services unless they have a work permit. So if you want to sell something, you have to go with a Friendly Nation visa. The great thing is if you get the Friendly Nation visa, I know you've heard about all those discounts that you get with a Pensionado visa, like 25% off of airfare, 20% off at all the restaurants, 25% off of your utility bills, 50% off at movie theaters or entertainment events. So the list goes on and on of all the discounts that you can get when you get the Pensionado visa. The good news is when you get the Friendly Nation visa, you can also get those very same discounts. The only difference is that they have an age requirement. When you get a Pensionado visa, there is no age requirement. People in their 30s and 40s, if they qualify, they can get the Pensionado visa, and they still get all those discounts. But if you go with the Friendly Nation visa to get the discounts, you have to be 55 if you're a woman, or you have to be 60 if you're a man to be able to get those discounts. Why there's an age difference on getting the discounts, I have no idea, but it's just what the rules are here in Panama. So the requirements for getting the Friendly Nation visa are, once again, you have to present a national criminal report, like an FBI report, and then you have to show some kind of a connection to the country of Panama. The easiest and the least expensive way to do that is to get set up a corporation in Panama. And corporation is a symbolic thing to do. You're not required to actually go in business or do anything. They just want you to set up a corporation. Corporations are usually about $1,100 to $1,200, depending on which attorney that you use. And sometimes for our Panama Relocation Tour clients and people that have bought the online guide, then we can sometimes find a used corporation that's for sale that you can buy for about $200. So that'll save you a lot of money. So once again, for the Friendly Nation visa, you need the National Criminal Report. You need to set up a corporation. You also have to open up a Panama bank account. The minimum deposit for the bank account for getting the Friendly Nation visa is $5,000. The good news is the day you get your visa, you can start spending that money. It doesn't have to stay in the account. It's your money. You can spend it. They just want to see a letter from the bank that says you deposited $5,000 in the account. If it's a couple applying for the Friendly Nation visa together, then you have to add $2,000 for each additional dependent. So if a couple was going to apply for a Friendly Nation visa, that means you'd have to put $7,000 in a Panama bank account. It only has to stay there for a day. Then you can start spending that money or even withdraw a lot of it. But those are the requirements for getting the Friendly Nation visa. So why would you even want to get one of these visas? You know, I mentioned that as a tourist, you could only stay for 6 months, and then you'd have to leave the country for at least 30 days. And some people, they want to get a visa because they want to live in Panama indefinitely. If you plan to move here and live here, you absolutely want to get a visa because your life is so much easier if you have one. The other thing that you might think about for getting a visa is just having a plan B. Things are getting kind of crazy all over the world. Violence is erupting in some places in the United States and even in Europe and South Africa and other places. And just knowing that you have the right to be able to pick up and go and move to another country and live there until things settle down or as long as you want to is reassuring. It's kind of an insurance policy to have a plan B of a separate place that you can go to. You don't have to be a citizen. You just need to get residency that allows you to live there indefinitely. You know, during this pandemic, Panama's borders have been shut. Nobody could come into the country since March. No one's been able to come in unless they were either a citizen of Panama or if they were a resident of Panama. So if there were people that were in Canada or France or the United States or anywhere, and they wanted to come to Panama, it was impossible for them to come here unless they had a residency visa. So just having that visa, knowing that you have another place you can go to if things get crazy where you are, or maybe I should say crazier where you are, then that's just it's just reassuring to know that you have that, especially if you already have a bank account set up, you've got some money there, you've already visited, and you know the area where you might want to stay and just hunker down for a little while until things settle down. So those are all some good reasons about why you might want to get a visa. And I've explained the two main, most popular visas, the Pensionado visa and the Friendly Nation visa. The next step up, the Friendly Nation visa is only available to people from certain countries, and I think there's about 40 different countries now that are supposedly friendly with Panama. What that means is that they have a good relationship with them, a good working relationship. If for some reason you're from a country and it's not on the list of the Friendly Nations and you don't qualify for the Pensionado visa, the next visa that's available to you is called the reforestation visa. It's quite expensive. A minimum investment is $80,000, and then for each dependent, you have to add an additional $2,000. But what you're investing in, this reforestation visa, is usually a teak farm. So the objective is that after about 15 years, they would start harvesting the teak, and you would get a lot of your money back just from the proceeds of selling that teak. So if you don't qualify for Pensionado or Friendly Nation, the next level up would be the reforestation visa. After that would be a business visa, which minimum investment for that is $160,000. So the Pensionado visa, you're looking at a couple thousand dollars at the most to get that one. For the Friendly Nation visa, for a couple to get it, it's going to be $4,000 to $5,000. Super affordable compared to all the other visas that are available in Panama. So next I would like to, by the way, if anybody has a question, you can press star 6. And after I explain all the different things about a visa, because I don't want to have any interruptions, I'll get thrown off track. But after I explain about all the different things with the visa, then I'll be glad to take your questions about getting a visa today. So the next thing I want to talk about is how. How do you actually get a visa? What are the steps that are involved? Well, one of the things that we recommend, first of all, is to come and check out Panama and see if you would even want to get a visa for here. There's no need in making a trip down here and just getting a visa and then turning around and leaving, although you could do that. It'd be a good idea to come and check out Panama and see if it's a place that you would want to live, see if it's a place even just for a year or two that you would want to be able to live. So start out with an exploratory visit to Panama. Our private tours are an ideal way to do that. You could come down just for 4 or 5 days or a week, and later we'll be doing our Panama relocation tours. It's another way to explore Panama and discover the area where you would want to live. And then once you determine that you would like to get a visa in Panama, you need to pick out which visa is the best one for you, and that's usually based on which one you qualify for, Pensionado visa or the Friendly Nation visa. And then you're going to pick an attorney. Our online Panama relocation guide, it has recommendations on the attorneys that we work with throughout the country. We recommend that when you do get an attorney, that you get an attorney that's close to where you live. So if you were going to live in Volcan, which is on the far western side of Panama, it doesn't really make sense to use an attorney in Panama City, because then you'd have to spend the night, spend a week in Panama City, hotel expenses and all those things. It would be better to work with an attorney that's in David. There's an immigration office in David. If you were going to be living in Chitray or Las Tablas, it would make more sense to use an attorney in that area, because there's an immigration office in Santiago. So pick an attorney that's close to where you're going to be living. It'll reduce your cost and just make it much easier. It's going to take 3 trips to get the whole thing on your visa. Initially, when you come to Panama to get a visa, you need to plan to be here about 7 business days. Sometimes it can be a little bit less, but you should plan to be here about 7 business days. And during that time, you're going to start with a meeting with your attorney. They're going to have you sign some documents that authorize them to represent you in getting an attorney. There's also a questionnaire that has to be filled out for you to get a visa. They're going to ask you some crazy questions like, have you ever been a prostitute? And hopefully the answer is no. They'll ask you if you've ever been a drug dealer and all kinds of other crazy little questions that they're going to ask. And it's all in Spanish, but your attorney will help you with the interpretations of it. So once you do that documentation with your attorney and they put your file together, your file is going to have all of your documents that you've gathered up, like your national criminal report, your pension letter, all those things, they have to be translated into Spanish. If you send those to your attorney before you come down to get your visa, they can have the Spanish translations done before you come. It does have to be done by a Panamanian official translator. It can't be done where you live. So they'll have all your documents together, and then they will electronically submit your documents to the immigration office and set up on a day and time on when you're going to go in to actually get your visa. They'll take your picture. You'll have to go to several different windows to do different things. Don't worry, your attorney will be right there to help you with the entire process. So you make a couple of different trips to the immigration office. And usually on about the third day, you're going to be handed a card that's about the size of a driver's license, and that's your temporary visa. The temporary visa allows, it's only good for 6 months. The 6 months gives immigration office enough time to investigate all the documents that you've sent in to make sure everything's correct, the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed. I should mention that if you have a criminal report that has some dings on it, even things that happened 20, 30, or 40 years ago, you might want to have a conversation with the immigration attorney about that in advance. If it's a nonviolent crime, then they can almost always get you approved for a visa anyway. But if you had any violent things, like if you were a bank robber, if you killed somebody, a rape or any of those kind of things, they may not approve you for getting a visa in Panama. They're particular about who they let into the country, which I appreciate. So if you know there's going to be some dings on your credit, I would highly recommend that before you do anything, before you even come to have a visit, contact an immigration attorney, come clean, be honest with them, tell them what's going to be on your FBI report, or even order your national criminal report so you can see it, and you could email it to them for them to look it over to let you know if they can get you approved for a visa or not. Some other documents that you're going to need, if you're applying as a couple together and you're married, then you're going to need a certified copy of your marriage certificate. If you've been living together for 20 years and it's common law marriage, Panama does not recognize that, so you would have to have 2 separate visas that you're applying for. Also, if it's a same-sex marriage, even if you're legally married, Panama does not recognize that, so you'd have to apply to a visa separately. And then you're going to need your proof of income if you're applying for the pensionado visa. If you're applying with children to get a visa, if it's a minor under the age of 18, they require a birth certificate, but nobody else is required to present a birth certificate, which I've always thought was kind of strange, but that's just the way that it is. So only minor children have to have a birth certificate. The other thing is, if your whole family has to come to get a visa, you can't just send mom to get a visa for everybody in the family or dad to come and get a visa. Everybody that's getting a visa has to be present. They'll take pictures. They're going to take fingerprints. And everybody has to be there to sign some paperwork. So that initial step, the temporary visa, is going to take approximately 7 business days. And that visa is only good for 6 months. If you plan to stay in Panama after you get your visa and wait for your permanent visa, usually 2 or 3 months later, your permanent visa would be ready. If you're planning to stay in Panama, Then your attorney will just notify when your permanent visa is ready, and it's just like one day at the immigration office to get your permanent visa. Once you get the permanent visa, it's good indefinitely. There's no renewal fees, there's nothing else that you have to do. But let's say that you come to Panama and you get your temporary visa, then you want to go back home, you want to sell your house, you want to get rid of everything you own or ship some things to Panama and get everything ready to bring your dogs to Panama. If you plan to leave the country after you get your temporary visa, there's one other step and your attorney will help you with it. It's called a multi-entry step. Stamp that goes in your passport. It's a huge stamp. It's about 2 inches by 3 inches. It goes in the very, very back of your passport. And that multi-entry stamp allows you to leave the country after you've gotten your temporary visa. If you don't get the multi-entry stamp and you want to leave the country before you get your permanent visa, there's a $2,000 fine per person. It only costs $50 to get the multi-entry stamp. And I really recommend that everybody gets it. Even if you're planning to stay in the country, it's a good idea to go ahead and get that multi-entry stamp. There's an example. Let's say that you've moved to Panama, you've rented a house, you got your temporary visa, you're just waiting on that phone call for when your permanent visa is ready. But all of a sudden you get a call that your 25-year-old son just had an automobile accident and they're in the hospital in the emergency room. Guess who wants to be on the first plane out of Panama to go be with their son? Of course you do. If you don't have that multi-entry stamp, you can't leave Panama unless you want to pay a $2,000 fine. But if you paid the $50 to get the multi-entry stamp, you can get on the next plane out of here and you can go be with your family for a medical emergency. They're not going to have any leniency. If you say, well, my mom died or my kid was in an accident, they don't care. If you don't have the multi-entry stamp, you cannot leave the country without paying that fine. So the first time you come to get a visa, just to recap, you're going to be here approximately 7 business days, and then it's going to be about 2 months later you'll get your permanent visa, and it's just going to be one day to get that. There's a third step that'll happen. Once you get your permanent visa, your attorney will automatically apply for something called a cédula. It's actually a national ID card. Everybody in Panama has one, even Panamanians. If you're an immigrant, it's going to have a big E on it that you're an immigrant. And usually about 3 or 4 weeks after you get your permanent visa, then your cédula is going to be ready. And that's one other thing that you're going to be able to pick up. There is one other thing that I want to mention about these documents that you have to give to your attorney. Of course, your attorney will advise you on all of this as well. Whenever you gather up your documents, your national criminal report, your certified marriage certificate, your social security or pension letter, and all those things, those have to be authenticated or apostilled. So let me, and they have, that has to be done in your country. If you are in Canada, you can only do the authentication because they don't do apostilles in Canada. An apostille is a very high-level notary that comes from the State Department. It could be on the federal level of the State Department or the actual state that you live in. And it's just certifying that those documents are authentic and that they're real, that they're not a forgery or anything. So you can get the apostille on your documents. Once you get the apostille on your documents, they have to be submitted for getting a visa within 6 months. That apostille expires after 6 months. If you don't want to, and right now in the United States, it's taking 2 months to get the apostille because they've been shut down because of the pandemic. So it takes a really long time to get it. So the alternative is that you can get all of the documents authenticated in your country. You would send them to the Panamanian consulate that's closest to you, whichever city or state or province that's closest to you that has a Panamanian consulate, you can send it there for an authentication. And when you do send it there, it's only going to take a week. If there's one right in your town, you can walk in and get the whole thing authenticated in about 30 minutes. I believe they charge $30 per document. But you can Google the nearest Panamanian consulate to you, and they'll have information on what they charge. So those documents will have to be either apostilled or authenticated before you come to Panama to get your visa. One of the things I recommend that people do is once you get your documents together, once you get the apostille, scan those and email them all to your attorney so that they can look everything over and make sure it's accurate before you get on the plane to come to Panama. But also they can go ahead and get started on that translation into Spanish, so that's all ready before you ever get here. You should know that if you get the authentication instead of the apostille, I know this is all sounding a little confusing, but it's going to be, don't worry, your attorney will help you with the whole thing. If you do get an authentication instead of the apostille, there is an additional step in Panama that your attorney will help you with, and that is that the documents all have to be re-authenticated by the Ministry of Foreign Relations in Panama City. But you just give the documents to your attorney. They'll take care of everything for you. You don't even have to go to that office to get anything done. So those are the three steps. First, you're going to visit Panama. That's the main thing, is make sure you even want to get a visa here. That you don't want to jump through all these hoops and go to the expense of getting a visa unless you know it's a country you'd like to live in. The first time you come, it's going to be just a temporary visa that you're going to get that's good for 6 months. Second step, which will happen about 2 or 3 months later, you'll get your permanent visa. That just takes one day. And the third step is the national ID card, also called a cédula. So those are all of the steps. Once you have those documents, then you've got it. The cédula does have to be renewed every 10 years, and the reason is they think you might look a little bit different after 10 years. So every 10 years, you have to go to the nearest electoral tribunal office to renew your cédula. It's quick and easy. It's a one-day process to be able to do that. The other thing that you should know is that when you're in Panama as a tourist, you are only allowed to drive with your foreign driver's license for 90 days. Why they let you be a tourist for 6 months, but you can only drive for 90 days? I don't know, but a lot of things just don't make sense in Panama. It's just what the rules are. Once you get your temporary visa, you can immediately get a Panama driver's license. Your attorney, of course, can help you with that. And the process for getting that is you don't have to do a driving school, you don't have to drive a car, you don't have to take a test in Spanish or any of those things. But your attorney will help you get your current license authenticated at the embassy in Panama City that's associated with the country that you're from. So it could be the Canadian embassy that's in Panama City or the German embassy that's in Panama City. You'll go there to get your license authenticated. They want a blood test done because they put your blood type on your test. They're going to do a vision test and a hearing test, and then you pay $40 and you get a Panama driver's license. If you get a Panama driver's license right after you get your temporary license, because your temporary license is only good for 6 months, your Panama driver's license will only be good for 6 months. But if you wait and get your Panama driver's license until after you get your permanent visa, then it's good for 4 years until you turn 70. Once you're 70, then you have to renew your Panama driver's license every 2 years. But before 70, it's good for 4 years. You know, the first time I had to renew my Panama driver's license, they actually called me. About a month before my license was going to renew, I got a phone call in perfect English, and they told me, "Hey, Jackie, we just want to remind you that your driver's license is expiring in 1 month, and make sure you come in and get it renewed." If they hadn't called me, I probably wouldn't even have known that it needed to be done. The renewal process is super easy. All you do is you go in and you can do the vision test and the hearing test, and if you're a pensionado, you get a discount. So then it's only $36 to get your license the second time. So those are the steps for getting a visa, and those are, and also a driver's license. Now I want to talk about when you should get your driver's license and how you can actually save about $2,000 whenever you get your visa and your driver's license and everything. You know, some people, they come to Panama and they do their exploratory trip and then they want to get their temporary visa, stay an extra week and go ahead and get their temporary visa. And that's fine. You can certainly do that if you have all of your documents that have already been sent to an attorney and you've already hired your attorney. The only problem is that then you have to stay in a hotel for 7 days. You got to eat out for 7 days. And all of those things. But if you wait and get your visa until after you actually move to Panama, then you've rented a house, and in between going to immigration, instead of going to a hotel room or instead of going out to eat someplace, you can go right back to your rental property to spend the night. You can go have lunch and dinner at your rental property, so you don't have all those expenses of eating out. We estimate that just for a couple to come and stay in a hotel for a week, besides their airfare to get here, for your $600 a person, $1,200 to get here, plus staying in a hotel and eating out another $100 a day, you can easily spend an extra $2,000 if you get your visa before you've actually moved here. So if you wait and get your visa until after you've actually moved here and you've got a rental property, you'll be able to save money. There's not a big rush because remember, you can stay here in Panama as a tourist for 6 months. And when you gather all those documents for getting a visa, they're good for 6 months. So you can actually move to Panama, get your rental, load up the refrigerator with groceries, get settled in, get relaxed, and then you can apply for your visa. And it'll be much, much less stressful than just staying in a hotel whenever you're trying to get everything done. So my recommendation is wait until you actually move here to apply for a visa. You could do it right after your exploratory trip, but there's no need in making a trip here to get your temporary visa, then flying here to get your permanent visa, then flying here to get your cedula, all before you've actually moved here. You can save a substantial amount of money if you wait and get your visa, your driver's license, and everything else until after you actually move to Panama. And it'll be easier for you. So those are the big steps. Once you get your cedula or the national ID card, you can put your passport away. But before you get that cedula, you are required to carry your passport from your country around with you everywhere you go. And if there's checkpoints throughout the country, checking to see if people are illegal, checking to see if their driver's license is current, checking to see if their insurance is current, checking to see if they're drinking and driving. So we have those checkpoints throughout the country. And until you get your cedula or your national ID card, you should always have your passport with you. But once you get your cedula, you can put your passport away in your safe box in your house, and you just have to carry the little national ID card, which is about the size of a driver's license. So it's super, super easy to get that. I know it sounds complicated. The whole visa process sounds complicated, but the thing that's going to make it easy is to get a good attorney. I know so many people that have hired one attorney. I got an email yesterday. Someone said, I gave an attorney money 3 weeks ago, and I haven't been to immigration yet. Nothing's happened, and now he's telling me I have to pay him $500 more if I want to proceed. So, they've got with someone taking gringo pricing and take advantage of people. The immigration attorneys that we've worked with, we worked with for many, many, many years. Of course, they offered to give me a kickback for every single client I referred to them. I said, no, I don't want any money. I want you to pass that savings on to my clients, give them a better rate. And the most important thing for me is take care of the people that I send to you. So all the different immigration attorneys that we work with, they're going to be more affordable than other people you would find, sometimes 50% less or more. And I know they're going to do a good job. I know you're going to walk away with that visa and you're going to have a pleasant experience with them. So all of our immigration attorneys, when we do a Panama relocation tour, you get to meet some of them and you get your information there. But also in our online Panama relocation guide, we have all the information about the immigration attorneys that we work with and what their fees are and the documents that are necessary for getting a visa. All of that is in our online Panama relocation guide. So I hope I didn't go too fast. And your head might be spinning. I know it sounds complicated, but trust me, it's not. All of the expats that are living in Panama, and there's hundreds of thousands of us, we all went through this process, and we all got a visa. And it's just comforting to know that I can stay here as long as I want to. I don't have to leave every 6 months. I can stay right here. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and start taking your questions about getting a visa. My first caller is Russell. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, Jackie. Calling from West Palm Beach. It's not about a visa question, but I was wondering about in Quebeci about the Boquete, about kennels for animals. If you're there, you do locate there, and you want to travel a little bit, what's the situation with animal kennels? Boquete.
They do have some kennels here, but what most people do is they get a got a lot of background noise, so I'm going to mute your line and just answer your question. So they do have some kennels here, some really good kennels. There's two different ones, but there's also some excellent house sitters, people that would stay at your house with your pet, and they'd probably be happier staying right in their same house, in their same backyard. A pet sitter is usually about $20, $25 a day, and they're going to pay the gardener. They're going to take care of the maid that might come and take care of your pet. They'll send you videos and pictures every single day. So really, a pet sitter is the way to go. Next caller is Victoria. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie. It's Victoria from Northern Michigan. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Thanks for calling in today.
Awesome. So since we're talking about visas, I've been in contact with Anita, and she got all our documentation, and we are at the point that she suggests that she wire some money so she can push forward with the documentation. Is that a common to do, or should I wait till I get there to then do the next step? That's one question.
No,
but I also
all of the attorneys are going to want a retainer fee just to know that you're serious. They don't want to start paying money for translations and everything else until you've paid a retainer fee. Typically, it's about $500, $600 in a retainer fee. Then the remainder of their attorney fee you'll pay whenever you get here.
Okay. And then I think I lost you when you say when is the right time to get that driver's license to avoid having to get it again. It sounded like you said we should wait till we have the actual Friendly Nations visa to then.
Well, this is the thing. When you get your temporary visa, then your driver's license is only going to be good for 6 months. But if you want to be if you've moved here and you want to be driving during that 6 months, you need to go ahead and get your driver's license. But if you're not going to be living here, you could wait and get your driver's license when you get your permanent visa. But if you've already moved here, you absolutely need to go ahead and get it, because remember, you can only drive on your foreign license for 90 days. And there's no way that you're going to get your permanent visa within that 90-day time frame. So if you've moved here, you need to get your driver's license right after you get your temporary visa. Next caller is Franco. Go ahead.
Yes, Jackie, you've answered the majority of the questions that I had about visas. I'm actually scheduled to take your tour of November 27th, and I happen to notice that November 28th is Independence Day for Panama. Is that a major holiday? Is that going to interfere with opening a bank account or any other matters that we might do if indeed the tour goes as scheduled?
November 28th is the biggest holiday that there is besides Carnival. It's the government will be shut down for 5 days. The banks will be shut down. Restaurants and hotels will be open. So it is a major holiday.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next caller is Freeland. How are you today, Freeland? Thanks for calling
Good.
In.
How about yourself, Jackie?
Good.
Yep, I got a couple questions. When it comes to the documents, how many documents are there? Is like it's just for the FBI report, or is there other documents that we're going to need?
It depends on which visa you're going to get. If you're going to get the pensionado visa, the main documents that you're going to need would be your FBI report and also Social Security or a pension letter that shows what your income is. So those are the main documents you're going to need for the pensionado visa.
I got you. So
if you're married and applying together, you'll also need a certified copy of your marriage certificate.
Right, yeah, and that's not a problem for me. For the whole process, just ballpark it from start to finish, for everything like attorney fees and whatever other fees there are. Is there a ballpark figure for that?
It depends on which visa you're going to get. Which one are we talking about?
Probably the pensionado.
Pensionado visa, you're looking at about $1,500.
That's everything out the door? That's including your driver's license,
yep,
and everything?
No, it doesn't include the driver's license, but the driver's license is $40. So, but it's pretty close. Maybe $1,600 is going to include everything all out the door.
Right, okay. And that's for the that stamp, too, to get in and out.
Multi-entry stamp, the cedula, the temporary visa, the permanent visa, the cedula, the attorney fees, everything is all included in that. The driver's license is not, but like I said, it's only $40 to get your driver's license, so that's super affordable. It's only about $1,500, not very much. And my next caller is David. How are you doing today?
Good, Jackie. Thanks so much. How are you doing today?
I'm great. A little chilly here in Panama, but that's okay.
It's around 60 degrees here in Atlanta as well, so I just want to let you know. My question is, you mentioned about certain things you have to do. You mentioned about the bank accounts. I have some questions I want to zero in the bank accounts. I read someplace that in order to get a bank account, of course, you got to have, I think, a couple letters or two from your current bank, and you have to have 2 years of your taxes, too. And I believe there's a yearly fee to have a bank account. Is that pretty much correct?
That's not accurate, no. We recommend that when you open up your bank account, you get a savings account because then you'll earn interest on it. Don't get a checking account. Nobody uses checks in Panama. Get a savings account. You need one bank reference letter. And then the bank is going to have a questionnaire form that you fill out. They'll send it to you in advance. And you could do where you provide them just the first page of your tax return for the last 2 years' tax returns, or you can go to IRS and you can request a transcript for the last 2 years. That doesn't have any numbers on it. It just says David's paid all of his taxes. He's good. So then it doesn't have personal information on it. So that's it. Also, $1,500. It takes $1,500 to open up the account, and that has to be in cash. Your account has to maintain a balance of $1,000 at all times. If it goes below, then there's a fee. And you'll walk away from opening up your account with a debit card, so you'll have access to the money in your account, and you can use it for buying things.
And they don't charge you a yearly fee?
Nope, no fee. They actually pay you money every month to have leave your money in the account. There's no annual fee. Some banks, if you get a checking account, they're going to charge you an annual fee, but that's only before you have a visa. Once you get a visa, then they don't charge you. So some people that come here and they just want to hide some money offshore, they might charge an annual fee for a checking account, but they never charge an annual fee for a savings account. But once you get your visa, just show them your visa, and you're never, ever going to have a fee. On savings accounts right now, most banks are paying about 1.75% interest rate. So it's much more than you're going to get where you are now. That's with no CD or anything, just a regular savings account. And my next caller is James.
Hey, Jackie. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. So my wife and I, we were ready to get going in mid-October, but we were kind of second-guessing and whatnot because we were a little worried about actually moving to Panama during still the pandemic and then even a little bit afterwards. We're worried about the ability and ease of use to like get things done. You know, you're going to a foreign country, you're learning new things, you're learning how to do this and do that and go here and go there and whatnot. But we're also worried about the limitations and things are being shut down. Would you say it's smart to wait a little while for the pandemic to clear up things to actually smoothly open to have a fresh and honest opinion about Panama and if we love living there compared to, no, truck it out, get through there, get there, because it's just better overall?
I think if you wait until December, everything is going to be much more open. It'll be, if you came in the middle of October, there's still going to be, most of the things are going to be open. Restaurants are going to be open at 50% capacity. But I think if you waited until December, it's going to be much more like experiencing Panama the way it used to be. If you want to wait till the pandemic's over, that might be a year before you're going to come.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, so, but, you know, we don't want to put our life on hold. We got to just keep on moving on.
Right.
And also, it's just such a beautiful country, and there's so many things to do that the pandemic is not going to affect your life at all whenever you live here. I don't know if you saw the video of Phil that I put up on YouTube recently, the guy that he's our private tour guide in the Zuora Peninsula. I mean, he's living on the beach. He's going swimming every day. He does carving classes on Sunday, his gringo nights every other Friday. So, you know, they're just moving on with living and not letting it interfere with things.
Right. And anybody else complained about getting their dogs there with like how the airports weren't allowing dogs to be travel right now? Did they open that back up?
They've opened that back up. Yeah.
Okay. Because that was my other big hurdle that I was dealing with, is they were trying to shut that down. And I was like, well, I can't leave my family behind. So.
Yeah. Fur babies are very important. But October 12th, no problem. You can bring your dogs right in. They usually have a limit of only two dogs to be in cabin. So you'll want to book that in advance. And then if it's a bigger dog, they'd have to go in cargo.
Right. Yeah, that was the problem. They didn't want to check any into cargo. That they were just saying flat out no. Like, we're just not going to do it. And I was like,
After October 12th, everything, all that is opened up.
Oh, that's good to hear. Awesome. Thank you so much, Jackie. I look forward to seeing you.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in. Next caller is Paul. How are you?
Oh, hi, Jackie. I'm keeping busy. I think you've already answered some of my questions, but one that came to mind is you mentioned shipping my stuff to Panama. Are there any storage facilities in Panama like there are here in the U.S.?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, all over the country of Panama?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
great.
All over. You know, sometimes you might have to drive 40 minutes to get to the closest one, but... they're all over the country.
Great. And, I was on a tour back in May of last year, and I was looking at there was Kramer, and then there was Mara mentioned in the book.
We've updated that. If you log into, we still work with Myra, but we don't work with Kramer because their prices have gone up substantially, and a few people had some problems with them. But if you go to our private Facebook group for Panama Relocation Tours, we have an updated list of all of the different attorneys that we work with. And for those of you that have purchased the online Panama Relocation Guide, of course, we have a complete list of all the different attorneys in there as well. Next caller is Richard. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie. This is Richard and Hyla from North Georgia. We were on your
Thanks
tour.
Thanks for calling in today.
March 6th. Just had a quick question. We're planning to come do a test drive of Panama for a couple of months, maybe 3 months this winter. And just wanted to see about setting up our mail forwarding. Would it be best
Which town are you going to be doing your test drive in?
Boquete.
Okay. If you send me an email, Richard, then I can send you an email of how you can get your mail forwarding set up before you even get here. It'll be the owner of a company called Servitech, and he will give you the address, so you'll have everything sent to you in Miami, and then it goes right to his office in Boquete, and he'll send you an email when you have mail, and you just go pick it up.
All right. Sounds great. You covered everything else that I was going to ask.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll get you you'll get you taken care of. You're going to love it here.
All right.
Oh, we know.
Okay. Next caller is Wilbur. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Wilbur. I go by Lee. I'm calling from Texas. I'll be on my way over to Panama on the 14th of this month. I've already got my tickets and all.
Woo-hoo! Exciting.
So, I'll fly out of Miami to Panama. Then I'll spend the night with a friend, family, and then from Panama to David. And I've got the private tour guide, Jorge, lined up to show me around for about 3 days or so. And I've got a VRBO at one of the areas close to Boquete. My question is on the COVID-19 test. I understand when you leave Miami or wherever and go into Panama, at first it used to be a 96-hour window that they need to see some kind of certificate saying it was negative for the PCR or the SARS-CoV-2.
No, actually, so, they've changed the rules. The rules are, starting on October 12th, the rules are that the antigen test when you come into Panama cannot be more than 48 hours old. And if for some reason you get to Panama and your test that you had taken has already expired, they're going to require you to take another test in Panama. I think it's $30 to take the rapid antigen test here.
Okay. And I called, I think it was Cuba Airlines, Panamanian Airlines, a couple of days ago, and they said that they had changed it to 76-hour window. Have you heard anything on that?
Well, when you ask them that question, that's what the rules are the day that you give them, the day that you call them. When you're coming in on the 14th of October, it's going to be 48 hours.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So the rules on the rules after the 12th of October is the antigen test or the PCR test cannot be more than 48 hours old. Next caller is Renee. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie. I had a question about the Friendly Nations. I know you said for a couple it was $1,700 for the visa and $1,000 to $1,200 for the corporation. But then I must have missed something because you said for a couple it's $4,000 to $5,000. So are there other fees that you didn't mention?
Yes, there is other fees for the Friendly Nation visa, and thank you for bringing that up. Remember, with the Pensionado visa, they waive all the government fees, but for the Friendly Nation visa, they do not waive the government fees. So you'll have to have two checks, and your attorney will help you with that go to the government. One check will be for $250 that goes to immigration. Another check is going to be for $800 that goes to special fund for deporting illegal people. So that's where the other money comes in, the other $1,000.
Okay, well, that makes sense then. Now, if I'm doing an Amazon business, can I sell my corporation after a year if all I'm doing is just Amazon?
Absolutely, and that's what most people do. And just let us know when you're ready to sell it. We can always find a buyer for you.
Okay. And also, too, I got a tour book, and I'm supposed to come in January if everything still looks good then. And because we come on a tour, me and my husband, I know in the past you would hand out the books and everything. So does that mean the cost of a tour includes the online guide at that time? We get access to it?
No, whenever you come on a tour, then we have a special tour book that we give to you.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thanks for clearing that up.
Well, you get an actual book when you come on the tour, a physical book. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you.
And next caller is Twyla. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling in again this Saturday. You're my a regular.
I have two questions. Number one, I'm on here in Iowa. I'm on multiple different medications, which is insulin and other medications. Down in Panama, do we have to get prescriptions like we do in the U.S. to get medications, or would you just make an appointment to see a doctor?
Well, if you make an appointment to see a doctor, it's only going to be $12, and they'll write you a prescription. But if you just take in your existing medications into a pharmacy, you don't need a prescription. They will refill it. The only exception, there's certain things, like I think some depression medication, some narcotics, and antibiotics. You have to have a prescription for that. But remember, it's so cheap to get a prescription. It's $12 to go see the doctor, and they'll write it for you.
Okay, okay. Then my other question is, if we want to do the tour down there, if we want to go ahead and plan it now, do we have to make like a deposit to make the appointment for it?
You're talking about the private tours?
Yeah, the private tours.
Yeah, the private tours, no. You don't have to make a deposit. You just need to contact the private tour guide and go ahead and book the dates that you want to do the tour, and then you pay them in cash whenever you get here. If for some reason you need to change the dates or you need to cancel, just, you know, give a common courtesy to the private tour guide and let them know that you won't be able to come or that you need to change the dates. But no, there's no deposit or anything, and you just set it up with them directly.
Okay, that's what I need to find out. Okay. That's all
okay.
I needed to say.
Yep.
Thank you, Jackie.
We're keeping it super affordable and super simple.
That's what we want. Thank you.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Next caller is Carolyn. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. We are coming in December, and we're working with Anita as our attorney. And the paperwork that she sent said that for the pension on a visa, we have to get a health certificate. We have to visit a doctor in Panama and get a health certificate. Do you know about that?
She'll take care of that for you. Usually you don't even really have to kind of visit the doctor. You'll just go to his office and the paperwork will already be ready. And I think it's $10, but that's included in your fee.
Okay. So, my concern is my husband has some health problems, so what are they looking for?
It doesn't matter. The thing that they're looking for is if you have some kind of a disease that's easily transmitted, then that's what they're looking for.
I see. Okay, great. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Next caller is area code 425. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Virginia, and I'm calling from the Seattle, Washington area. And my question goes along with the previous one regarding having to go to a doctor, and also I read that we have to have our medical records sent to Panama to get the pensionado visa.
No, that's not accurate. You will have to have a doctor's note that says you're healthy, but your attorney will take care of all of that for you in Panama, but you do not send any medical records to Panama. If you have a lot of health problems, you probably want to bring your medical records with you and set up an appointment after you get settled in with a doctor and just go over mm-hmm. your medical history just so you establish a relationship with a doctor. But none of those are requirements for getting a visa, so you don't have to worry about that.
Oh, and so you cannot be denied your pensionado visa for health reasons, like things that happened in the past?
No. No, not unless you have a transmittable disease. Then you could be denied. Or if you have a criminal record with violent felonies, on your criminal record, then you could certainly be denied for those kind of reasons. But just because you have some pre-existing conditions, you don't have to worry about being denied for that reason.
Perfect. Now, with pre-existing conditions, I understand you can get medical insurance in Panama and that pre-existing conditions may not be covered for 1 or 2 years, correct?
That's correct. You can also always use the public hospitals, and they don't care what right. pre-existing conditions you have, they're gonna take care of you.
Okay. Now, is there an age limit for getting that insurance? Because I've read in other places that you have to get international insurance before you turn 74, and my husband's turning 73 right now, and so it's like,
So for you to get Panama-only insurance, mm-hmm. there is an insurance company that has no age restriction. You could be 80 and you could still get the insurance, and they will exclude some pre-existing conditions. They'll exclude the first year or two, but they'll cover mm-hmm. it after that. But even if it's excluded that first year or two, remember, you can always use the public hospital for any medical needs that you have, and that's going to be super, super, super affordable. Just an example, a lady that came on our tour had to have surgery in April, emergency surgery at one of the public hospitals, and she was in the hospital for 6 days. The surgery, the 6 days in the hospital and everything was $150. So that's just an idea of how affordable it is. And our next caller is area code 803. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Jackie. This is Rick Johnson calling from Charleston, South Carolina. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for calling in.
This is my first time, Jackie, talking to you about a couple of days with Melissa. She's been very, very helpful. Appreciate her.
You're welcome.
I got two questions, Jackie, for you tonight. I'm going to be coming to Panama in and around the middle of January. Specifically, I've narrowed down to Boquete. And my initial thing was I was going to have a 2-week window of when I was going to stay there, but Melissa told me that I can have, staying longer than my 2 weeks. And that's just book a one-way ticket, and then the night before, get another ticket on return, and then I can cancel that. Yeah, so I know how to do that. I'm pretty well set on going to living in Boquete, and so I'm heard all these questions about visas and stuff and what have you. I'm single, and so I don't really have any other person to be concerned with other than myself. So I can go anywhere for 6 months to a year, and so I'm looking at when I go there in January to establish camp right there when I get there the first visit.
Oh, you know, that's a good idea. And, you know, you may have a home base that's Boquete, but you might want to, you know, spend a week in Los Tablas and spend a week in Volcan and just try some different areas before you just settle down completely. Or you might see Boquete and say, oh, my gosh, I think I've died and gone to heaven, and decide to just stay right there.
Well, that's the kind of feedback I'm getting so far. And I'm retired military, and I lived 15 years overseas, so I'm kind of used to those kinds of things. And I'm pretty well set yeah. on the fact that, you know, I can stay there for 6 months or whatever, and I can go on week tours down to different cities and make perhaps change in 6 months to a year. But I kind of want to get down there in January and establish a base camp and start my process already. Now, I heard a gentleman ask a question earlier about getting a visa after you get here, because I was going to try to do some work while I was still in the States.
Yeah, it is possible to get your visa after you move here. You can, if you bring all of your documents for getting a visa, it'll be so much easier. So if you go ahead and get your FBI report, go ahead and get your Social Security letter, and get those apostilled and bring that with you, remember, they're good for 6 months. So there's no rush in getting your visa right after you get here. So you can come here, get settled in, and then if you decide you love it, and I know you will, then you can always apply for a visa later on. If you don't bring those documents with you when you come down for that initial visit and you decide you want to get your visa, it's a little bit more complicated to get the documents. It is possible to do it. It's just more complicated and timely to get the documents from Panama, and it's so much easier to get them before you come down. But you're going to love it. Marilyn and Jim, our next callers, go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Thanks a lot for continuing to do all of these calls. We really love them. I have two questions, and I'm pretty sure that you answered this once before, but if we were to ultimately own a property in Panama and wanted to rent it, would that require us to have a Friendly Nations visa?
No, it does not. If you own the property and you're renting it out, you can do that with a pension, even a couple of properties. You can do that with a pensionado visa so long as you own the property. If, for example, you decided you wanted to set up a business and be a property manager for other people, then that's considered working and you would have to get the Friendly Nation visa. But if you want to just have some rental properties, we need more rental properties, so come on down.
Okay, that's a very happy answer to hear. The other question I had is, we opened a Citibank account here in the U.S. in anticipation of moving to Panama because we saw that Panama had Citibank there. Is our account in the U.S. going to work for us needing to open an account in Panama?
No, it's in no way associated. Citibank Panama is in no way associated other than the name, but there's no linkage of the accounts at all.
Okay.
The other thing that's important to know is that Citibank is only in certain locations and usually in the bigger cities, so they're not in the smaller towns. It's always better to have a bank account in the town that you're going to be living in. So if you live in Vulcan, there's no Citibank there, but there's a bank called Banismo that's really good. If you lived in Coronado, I don't think there's a Citibank even in Coronado. So it's always good to have a bank that you can walk into the office and it's in the town that you live in.
Is there a national bank that you would recommend specifically?
So there's the Banco Nacional, it's the national bank, and they're going to have offices in every single town. But I don't really recommend that bank because unless you're fluent in Spanish, their online banking is Spanish or Spanish. And when it comes to financial matters, I want to know exactly what it says. I don't want to have to guess or use Google Translate. So those are only certain banks that have online banking in Spanish and English. Those banks are Banismo, Multibank, Global Bank. There's also Scotiabank, which I wouldn't recommend. But the three main ones are Banismo, Global, and Multibank. All that information is in our online Panama relocation guide. But go with a bank that has online banking in English. And then it's easy to move money around. It's easy to wire money in, and you can just log in and do everything online. You can pay your electric bill. You can set it up where it sends $20 a month automatically to pay your electric bill, all kinds of online bill pay. But you want that to be in English just to make your life easier until you become fluent in Spanish. Course, which may or may not happen.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And we do have the guide. We just have not spent enough time with it. And we're very interested in engaging Phil for a tour of the Azuero Peninsula. And we're just going to, is it proper to just contact him directly?
Yes, all the private tour guides, you just contact him directly. Did you see his video we put out yesterday?
I haven't seen the one put out yesterday, I've been following his Facebook page, and I really had fun watching the turtle videos that Gloria did, and really nice.
And he's the nicest guy. Well, look on our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/Panama Relocation Tours and watch his video. Right after this call, go watch his video. You're going to be amazed at the views. And you just get to really, you'll know him and love him and Gloria after you watch that video.
Thank you very much. I appreciate, and I really, Jim and I both appreciate all that you do for so many. It's really appreciated, and if we could pat you on the back, we would.
Thank you so much. You know, I know whenever I moved here, it was a big decision. It was a big decision to move to Panama, and I didn't know anybody. I didn't know how to get things done. There was no Panama relocation tour. It didn't exist. So I knew that there was a lot of people just like me that would love to move to Panama, but you just need someone to hold your hand, someone you can call up and say, how do I do this, or what do I do, or this happened, how do I solve that problem? And so that's what we want to be, your lifeline for you whenever you get here, before you get here, after you get here. And then now we've established this network with our private tour guides, that those are more people that were just here to help you, because we were right where you were. At one point where we were moving to a place we didn't know anybody or anything, and just knowing that you have somebody that you can call that's going to help you, that you can trust, that you've already established a relationship with, it's so important. And that's what we do. That's what we're here to help everybody. So thanks again for calling in. My next caller is area code 310. Go ahead.
Hi. My name's Greg. I'm in the Los Angeles area. Hi, Jackie.
Thanks for calling in, Greg.
Question, Jackie. Okay. My wife and I, we're eligible. We meet the requirements for a pensionado visa. But you've said if we think we may want to work, that we should go with a Friendly Nations visa instead. Now, I understand there's like the Tuesday market or Gringo market in Boquete, and even if we're just going to be working there, we would need a work permit. Is that right?
Well, technically, yes, you would need a work permit, but there's a little bit of a way around it. If you wanted to sell some things that you'd made at the Tuesday market, you technically, legally, couldn't sell it at the Tuesday market. I'm sure there's people there that are selling things that just have a pensionado. But what you can do is we can introduce you to some Panamanians that could work just from that 9 to 12 or 9 to 1 when they have the Tuesday market, and they would sell the products for you. You could still be standing there talking to customers, but just hire someone else that actually takes the money and hands them the product, and then they're actually doing the selling for you. So, and it'd be cheaper than getting the Friendly Nation visa.
Yeah. Another question about Friendly Nations visa. If it turned out that my wife and I both wanted to be working and we would get the Friendly Nations visa, would we each have to have a separate Friendly Nations visa for a separate work permit, or how does that work?
Yes, when you get the Friendly Nation visa, only the principal of it gets a work permit. If you both wanted to get a work permit, you would get two separate Friendly Nation visas. You could still be on the same corporation, and your attorney isn't going to charge any more. The application process would be just a little bit different.
And so then the fees are going to be a little bit more too.
The only difference in the fee is going to be the attorney fees for getting the Friendly Nation visa will be exactly the same. There won't be any more. The only difference is the work permit costs $500. So there would be an additional $500 for that extra work permit.
But that we can always get later if and when we decide, we are going to start working.
Exactly.
Some more.
Yes, okay. You can always get that later. There's no rush to get it right away.
Thanks, Jackie. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in. My next caller is Edwin and Grace. Edwin and Grace, I think you might have your line muted. Hello? We'll wait a little bit longer. Edwin and Grace, I've unmuted your line. I think if you have yours muted, you need to unmute it on your side. Nope. Okay, I'm going to go to the next caller. Marianne, go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Just a couple quick questions. So when you get the multi-entry stamp, when do you get that?
You get that right after... right after you get your temporary card, then your attorney will take your pass for you to get your multi-entry stamp. You actually have to turn your passport into immigration office one day, and then they put the stamp on it, and your attorney picks it up the next day and brings your passport back to you.
Okay. All right. And I'm scheduled for your August tour, hoping all goes well between now and then for everyone.
Everything should be fine by then.
Originally, when you used to discuss it, it was when you come on the tour, I was thinking of coming there for a month or so, and then maybe starting the whole process then. And since you're recommending finding an attorney close to where you decide to settle, I thought that would be a good way to explore the different areas and then kind of get a feel for sure where I wanted to be. But how many times, if I did that, let's say I spent a month, how many times then would I need to come back? Like, I know at least once, but would I need to come back twice?
So this, once you get your temporary visa, then you're going to have to come back to get your permanent visa. Remember, your temporary visa is only good for 6 months. Usually 2 or 3 months after you get your temporary visa, your attorney will call you and tell you your permanent visa is ready. You don't have to get on the next plane and hurry up and fly down here and get it, but you do have to come back before your temporary visa expires. So you'd have to come back to get that permanent visa. That only takes about a day to get that, but you probably would hate to fly down here, spend one day getting a visa, and turn around and fly back.
Yeah, I'm just trying to sort all this out ahead of time. So if I did do it when I come for your tour, what is like the, do you think staying, I was thinking a month, but do you think 2 to 3 weeks would be enough to get the temporary visa, or unknown at this time?
Oh, yes. I think, and, 10 days would be more than enough time. Well, you do the tour and then additional 7 to 10 days to get your visa.
Right. I was thinking of then staying and finding a place to rent or something in the David area, for another 2 weeks or something and applying for it then. Okay. So that, I'll save. And how much is it for a single person to get the Friendly Nation?
Friendly Nation visa is whether it's a couple or single, it's $1,700 with the attorney and David.
I thought it was $4,000 to $5,000, I thought you said.
It is. It's $1,700 in attorney fees plus the cost of getting the corporation, which is $1,200, plus the cost of the government fees, which is going to be $1,050, plus you have to have the bank account where you put $5,000 in it.
Oh, okay. So that $4,000 to $5,000 covers everything for a single or a couple, unless you have
insinuating
situation.
That's right.
Oh, okay. I thought it was in addition to all the other stuff. Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Next caller, we're going to try Edwin and Grace again. Go ahead. Edwin and Grace, I've unmuted your line. Are you muted on your side? I'm going to come back to you in just a little bit. Next caller is Richard.
Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Richard in Montreal, Canada. Got a quick question about the Friendly Nations. You mentioned that we're better off being on site to start the whole process. But I was wondering, with the paperwork, how would I manage with the lawyer first? Like, do I start the process like a couple of weeks prior to moving there to get all the paperwork done and get it to them, or how would I do that?
Well,
it's much easier for you to get.
I've got some feedback on your line, so I'm going to mute your line so I can answer your question, Richard. In Canada, it's so much easier to get your paperwork than it is in the United States. You're really lucky about that. Your criminal report, you can get it in a day. Canada, they don't do the apostilles. You do the authentication at the consulate. So all of that is much faster. My recommendation is for you to engage or hire an attorney about 30 days before you plan to come to Panama. They'll give you a complete list of all the documents that you need to gather and set up a date on when you're going to meet with them to go get your visa. So 30 days before would be the ideal situation. Next caller is Jeannie. Go ahead.
Hello, Jackie. Thanks for taking our call. We're in Dallas, and we are newbies. Need some quick coaching. We're absolutely sold on Boquete on a Pensionato, and we're going to be purchasing your online package next week, but we won't do the private tour until May. So I assume we fly out of Dallas or Houston, and we go into either San Jose or Panama City. We fly over to David, and what we're wondering about is, based on this last call, if we've got everything with the attorney already, we've gone to the consulate, we've done all the paperwork, once we show up, how long before we get our permanent visa, do you believe?
First you have to apply for the temporary visa, and then your permanent visa is usually going to be about, especially in the David immigration office, they're much faster there. I would say 2 months, you'll have everything.
Okay, and do we bring cash, credit cards? How do we pay for it? Wire transfers for the attorney, for the bank?
So the attorney is usually going to require that you wire some money into her account for her initial fees. What you might want to do while you're here is you could go ahead and set up a Panama bank account, and of course we can help you do that with some recommendations that we have. And the way we do it, it only takes about an hour. Usually it takes about 5 days to get a Panama bank account. And then by just having that Panama bank account, you can wire additional money into it. You could have a Panama debit card that'll make it easy for you to move money from your Panama bank account to your attorney's Panama bank account and then avoid the fees. The other great thing about having a Panama bank account is you can write a check from your U.S. bank and deposit that into your Panama bank account, and there's no fee for that. It'll take about a week for it to clear, but then you're going to easily have access to money without using a foreign debit card and wire fees, and it can get expensive, all those additional fees. So I would say go ahead and get a Panama bank account.
Okay, that sounds great. So if we arrive on a Monday in David, lay out how long is it going to take us to find a place to stay for 4 months, or is that something we need to arrange ahead of time?
What I would recommend is that when you first get here that you either get an Airbnb or use one of the hotels that we recommend in the online guide and plan on staying there for 4 or 5 days, because it's always better for you to go look at a rental property before you sign a lease agreement, just to see the lay of the land and the logistics and what the neighbors are like. Is there a barking dog next door or roosters next door? So just to check things out. So it's better to see it. But I would say that in 2 or 3 days, you should have a rental that you can move right into.
Thanks, Jackie. Thanks for all you do.
You're welcome. Also, you know, just let us know. Send us an email when you're coming, and I put the word out to all my friends that have rental properties, and I can have several properties lined up for you to see whenever you get here.
Terrific. Thanks.
You're welcome. Next caller, area code 941.
Good evening. It's Bill from Florida. I'm focusing on the Pensionado visa. First of all, the police record certificate, and you talked about FBI. Can that not be secured from your local police station?
Not anymore. Prior to 2012, you could just go down to the local police department and get that. But after 2012, they changed the laws, and now it has to be a national criminal report, like an FBI report. There's a super easy way to get it. You don't have to go to the police department and get your fingers rolled and everything. There's FBI-approved channelers, which is usually like a UPS store where you can get electronic fingerprints, and you get your FBI report back in less than an hour.
It's called channelers?
Channelers, yes. If you do a Google search for FBI-approved channelers, it'll have a list of all of them, and there'll be one right there close to where you are where you can get your report in an hour.
Got it. Okay. And I'm a little bit – I need some direction as it relates to the authentication of the documents or apostille. We're not talking about like a notary republic here. We're talking about something much more official.
the federal State Department, yes. Yeah,
so
Washington, D.C.
Okay, federal
you have
State
two
Department.
Choices. It can either go through the federal State Department, and then it's an apostille. And if you do that, then there's no additional steps that are going to need to happen when you get to Panama to get your visa. Or you can go for an authentication, which will be at the Panama consulate that's closest to you. And I believe there's one in Miami. You can do that. And it's going to be much faster right now, but there's a backup because of COVID. There's a huge backup at the federal State Department. It could take 2 months to get an apostille. So it'd be much, much faster to just go with the authentication at the Panamanian consulate that's closest to you.
Got it. Okay. And just so I'm clear, when we're talking about, and again, I'm focusing only on the pensionado visa, when we're talking about a couple, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, what is actually happening, we're not really submitting an application for two separate visas. We're actually submitting an application for one primary visa and then a dependent. Is that correct?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay.
But you each get your own visa card.
Correct. And the only other comment that I would make, and I think this is something that the local attorney would probably advise. My understanding is that there's going to be a power of attorney requirement. There's going to be like four passport size photos per person. There's going to have to be a complete copy of both passports, front page to back page, and you've already addressed the issue of the health certificate, which I understand is just a formality, but that's something that the local attorney would take care of with the local physician's office.
Right. Same thing with passport photos and all those other things. Those are all things that your attorney will take care of in Panama. The only things you have to worry about is your certified marriage certificate, your pension letter, and your FBI report. Everything else is handled in Panama.
Right. And you addressed that that special form from the Social Security office on your last call, which was very precise and succinct. And you can only do that, by the way, by showing up in person, because I called my local Social Security office, and you cannot do that online. You literally have to go to the Social Security office in order to fill out that form.
I don't know. Some people have been able to make a phone call because their Social Security office is closed to walk-in traffic. So it just depends on where you are. But there is the form is not online. You have to either call them and request that they send it to you, or you have to go in and get it that way. But you're right, it's not online.
Right. Okay, very good. Thank you, and stay safe.
Thank you very much. We're going to try this again. Edwin and Grace from South Carolina, I've unmuted your line. Go ahead. I don't know why we're having problems. You must have your line muted on the other side. I'm going to come back at you. I'm going to go to someone else and figure out how to unmute your line. Next caller is Marcia. Go ahead.
This is John and Marcia. Picking up
hey, John.
On what? Hi. Picking up on one thing you'd mentioned earlier, and that's the hypothetical, go down in like November and look around and rent a place, then return to the U.S. and getting our papers and so forth together, and coming back in, later on, December, January, something like that, and finish it with the attorneys. Would you recommend getting a house sitter for that time after you've rented your house in November until you come back to finish up the paperwork?
Honestly, John, I would recommend doing it in a completely different order. You're looking at having additional expenses of airfare to get down here. You have to get the COVID test, transportation, all those kind of things. It might would be better, if you haven't visited Panama yet, it might would be better just come and do a visit. You don't need to rent anything yet. Just come and do a visit and identify which town that you would like to move to. And then you can go back, sell your house, get the paperwork, do all those things, and then come back to Panama and just get an Airbnb or a hotel for 4 or 5 days and then start looking for your rental at that time.
Yeah, we were on your
but
November
there's,
last
there's
year.
There's no need in. Okay, well, then you probably know exactly where you want to move to, but there's really no need in coming down and securing the rental before you come. You can get a rental after you get back.
Okay.
I mean, if you wanted to do it, you could, but it's just a lot of extra expense to come down and rent something and that's just going to sit there empty for a couple of months until you actually come back. It'd be better to just come here, not know where in the world you're going to live, and get an Airbnb or a hotel for 4 or 5 days and then get your rental secured. And when we know you're coming, we'll put the word out to everybody and we'll have things lined up for you to look at.
Thank you very much.
I'm just trying to save you a little bit of money.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Next caller is Lloyd. Go ahead.
Hello. It's Lloyd calling from Australia. You answered one of my questions before, just on the single for the Friendly Nations visa, but I was just wondering if you come across many Australians and New Zealanders who have moved to Panama.
Absolutely. There's Australians and New Zealanders. We have them right here in my town, and I've met them in Coronado. I've met them in Vulcan. I've met them all over the country. So, yes, they're going to be here.
Yes. And have you heard anything like about the Australian embassy and the processing of the Friendly Nations visa or the Pensionado visa?
So you're going to get the visa here. It's not processed there. All you have to do, the only thing you're going to be doing is the Panamanian embassy of getting your documents authenticated, not the Australian embassy, but the Panamanian embassy in Australia is where you'll get your documents authenticated.
Yes, yes. Good. Thanks very much for that. I've been listening every week for a few months now.
Thank you so much, Lloyd. I appreciate you calling in. I hope you're learning a lot.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
You're welcome. We're always here to help you. Just send us an email or call us anytime you need help. My next caller is Ricky from the Philippines. So we're going from Australia to the Philippines. How about that? Go right ahead. Ricky, I've unmuted your line. I don't know what's going on with this. I'm going to come back at you, Ricky. Next caller is Chrissy, area code 510.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thank you. So I understand I'm going for the Pensionado visa, so the FBI letter and the pension letter. But how far in advance do they want that? Can I get that like right before I come, or should 6 months ahead of time?
You can get it right before you come. The important thing to know is that on the day that you apply for your visa, the documents cannot be more than 6 months old. And it's better if you don't wait till the last minute. So you might want to get the documents a month or two.
Okay.
In advance, okay. So that they're not too old, but they can't be more than 6 months old when you apply.
And then I'm set up with Jorge like mid December to come down and visit and look and see if I like it. And so, which I'm excited about. So if I like it, I'm just a little concerned because I'm going to be bringing three dogs with me, and trying to get an Airbnb. Would that be difficult to find a place and?
No, there's a lot of Airbnbs are pet friendly.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I'm like, oh God, I don't want to get there.
Okay,
I think that's it. Thank you.
And Jorge has a Rottweiler and some little Schnauzer dogs, so he's used to dogs also.
Oh,
so
perfect.
He'll be fine.
Okay.
Okay. Next caller is area code 219.
Hi, Jackie. My name is Sonia, and I'm calling from Indiana. Thank you so much for taking my call. I've been listening for a couple of months now. So I have a few questions. First, with your private tours that you're offering, are those available for a family of four, or is there going to be a limit on that?
No problem with a family of four.
Okay, perfect.
The only guidelines that we have for the private tours is it has to be people from the same family. Just for safety reasons, because of COVID, we don't want to combine two different families. But if it's all people from your family, then four people is fine.
Oh, perfect, perfect. I have another question about the Friendly Nations visa. So after you get your visa, are you then considered like a dual citizen of your original country and then Panama?
No. When you have your residency visa, all that is it allows you to be your legal resident of the country. You can live in Panama indefinitely. If you wanted to get citizenship, after 5 years of having permanent residency, you can apply for citizenship in Panama as well, but you're not considered a citizen when you just have residency, but you're a resident.
So you can apply for it after 5 years of being there?
After 5 years, and it's only $600 to get citizenship. You have to do an interview to explain why you want to become a Panamanian, you have to do a little history test, and then you pay your $600 and you get a Panama passport and citizenship.
Oh, perfect, perfect. Another question I have about the, because I think we're not quite qualified for the pensionado yet, so we probably would be doing the Friendly Nations visa. So it would be me and my husband, and I understand that cost for a couple is about $4,000 to $5,000. But I also have a 14-year-old son, and I have one that's college age. Would that be like two separate visas for them?
No, they have a family package. I think they charge $250 extra for each additional child.
Okay, and what age are they considered children?
Up to 21.
Up to 21, okay. Okay.
Yeah. But even if you were applying for the visas altogether, and your child that's 19 or 21, if they needed to get their own separate visa, the attorneys are going to give you a family special so that it's not going to cost that much more.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that answers all of my questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in. Next caller is area code 910.
Hi, Jackie. I just want to ask two quick questions. Do we have to go to Panama City for our visas or cedula, or can that all be done in David?
It can all be done in David now.
Okay. And also the driver's license, do we go to Panama City for that?
So for the driver's license, you'll have to go to Panama City to get your current license authenticated at the U.S. Embassy. And the attorney could hire someone to go do that part for you. But then after that, everything else can be done in David. But there's a U.S. Embassy in Panama City. There's not one anyplace else in the country. Occasionally, before the COVID, they had these embassy outreach program where they actually come to the different provinces and they do authentication of driver's license about every 3 months or so. But, of course, with the virus, they haven't been doing any of those things. So you'd probably have to go to Panama City for one day, make an appointment at the embassy, get your license authenticated. Then you can do everything else for your driver's license in David or whatever city that you're living in.
Do we have to go there in person, or we could actually hire somebody to do that for us?
Your attorney can hire someone to do it for you.
Great. Thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome. Next caller is 724.
Hi, Jackie. This is Kelly from Pennsylvania. We had exchanged some messages earlier this week.
I recall your name, yes.
Thank you. I am hoping to come down in January and February for some fact-finding. So two quick questions. I am 49, but I am on disability. You specifically said disability doesn't include that income can't be included for pensionada. Why is that? Do you know, or can it be included?
It depends on the situation. If it's going to be a lifetime, if it's just a temporary disability, they won't do it.
But if I have a Social Security letter that says from Social Security that you get X amount of dollars.
Yeah, if you have permanent disability and it's going to be that it's going to switch over from that disability to your Social Security when you turn 65, then you'll be able to get it. But if it's just temporary disability, then you wouldn't be able to get it.
No, okay, so that one part's good. The other question, due to some health reasons, I do have to come back to the States every 3 months for treatment.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't go forward with the pensionata, is that, do you know of that being any red flag if they see a lot of stamps in and out of Panama? The only reason I ask is I lived in Asia for a while, and going in and out of Thailand, after a while, they'd question why I was coming to Thailand every month or every 3 months or something like that. Okay.
No, no, wouldn't be a red flag at all.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next caller is Carol. Go ahead.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Carol, I've unmuted your line.
Hi, can you hear me?
Let me turn it up. Okay, now I can. Go ahead.
Hi. Honest to God, Jackie, you are a saint. I think they have got to erect a statue for you in Boquete. You have so much patience. Oh, my goodness, you are incredible. I have hopefully two real quick questions for you. For the FBI report, you had mentioned something about getting fingerprinted in Panama, but I think you have to get the fingerprints for the FBI report, correct?
Yeah, but you don't do that in Panama. All that for the FBI report, everything has to be done in the United States. And the quick and easy way to get your FBI report is don't go down to the local police department and get your fingerprints rolled and then send the application into the FBI. That could take months to get it back. The quick and easy way to get your FBI report is to use an FBI-approved Chandler. So if you do a Google search for FBI-approved Chandler, it'll have a list of all the different companies and where you can go right close to your town. It's usually like a UPS store or something like that where you can go and get electronic fingerprints and you get your report in 1 hour.
Thank you. I understood all that. But you did say something about fingerprints in Panama, so I wondered if you had to get that a second time.
When you get your visa, they're going to fingerprint you, yes.
Okay. And then my other quick question was for the pensionado visa, when do all those discounts start taking effect?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
When do all the discounts start taking effect for the pensionado visa?
So for the pensionado visa, you don't start getting the discounts until you get your permanent visa. But the reality is, even with your temporary visa, if you go into a pharmacy and if you've got a little bit of gray hair or if guys have no hair, they're just going to give it to you. If you walk into McDonald's and order something, they're just going to give you a discount. At all the different restaurants, if they can tell that you're probably over 65 years old or over 60, they're just going to give you the discount, even whenever you don't even show them a card, whenever you just have a temporary card. But to get the discounts like 25% off airfare, you're not going to be able to get that until you get your permanent visa.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much for all you do. Honestly, you are a saint. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling in today. Next caller is area code 904.
Hi, Jackie. This is Robin from Jacksonville, Florida. How are you?
Great. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, so I was on the trip in September that got canceled. So I'm just looking for, I'm not interested in doing a private tour just because I'm single, but are you going to be able to do any extra tours for people that were canceled during the pandemic?
We have all of our tours are already scheduled. We're not planning to add an extra tour for people that were canceled. What you can do is get on the backup list, and when we have an opening on one of the tours that we already have scheduled, we will have some openings on tours that are already scheduled, then we'll notify the people on the backup list, and the people that get priority are any people that had a tour that was canceled. You'll get first dibs. Anyone that was canceled get first dibs on any openings that we have.
Yeah, I think I'm on the backup list, but I haven't been getting any notifications, but that's probably because everything is still being canceled, so I just didn't know.
Yeah, well, it's because, yeah, we haven't started doing tours yet, so until we start doing tours, there won't be any notifications.
Yeah, because I retired the first of the year, so I am extremely excited about getting down there as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm, that's good. And, you know, even though you're a single female, I handpicked every single one of these private tour guides. And as a single person, I would feel comfortable going with any of them. We just added in the Boquete area a lady that's a private tour guide here. She's lived here since 2004. And we have private tour guides that are females in the Coronado area. So we can always find someone that you would feel comfortable with, I think. And these are people I personally have known for a long, long time.
Well, I was just thinking with a group tour that you have more people that are asking questions of things that you don't think of to ask on your own, or actually the extra benefits that you get from doing a group tour.
Yep, and, you know, group tours are a lot of fun. It's just we're not ready to start doing group tours just yet, so... for people that are anxious to come and check out Panama, we're offering the private tours. If you can wait until we do a group tour, they're a blast. They're so much fun. Everybody that's been on one will tell you that, as you can see from our testimonials, that they were a lot of fun. They met some fun people. They learned a lot. And we armed them with all the information that they need to be able to make a move to Panama. My next caller is Victoria.
Victoria, again, thank you, Jackie. I wanted to tell you that the online relocation guide has been fantastic. It's just so much information, makes it easy to contact different vendors that are honest and reliable. And we are actually moving to Panama, going on the 14th, with two small dogs in the cabin. So we're super
there
thrilled.
There you go.
My question has to do with renting. How do you know you're dealing with the owner of the house versus somebody else who poses as one? And how do you know that, you know, it doesn't have mold, that doesn't have a leaky roof, that the hot water works and the electrical bills are paid on time, so I don't inherit someone else's electric bill?
So one of the things that you want to do, we really recommend that you do not rent a house without actually seeing it first. And we put out a new article about that last week, that it's better to always come and see the property, turn on the faucet, check the water pressure, do a speed test on the internet, and always just ask them, say, I'd like to speak to the owner. And if they say that I am the owner, you can always have your attorney check to verify that whether or not they're the owner. But the only way that you're going to be able to verify that the house is going to be right for you, and whether or not it has mold or it doesn't, or whether or not there's barking dogs next door, or whether or not the roof leaks, is to go see the house and look up. Look at the ceiling. See if there's any black spots in the ceiling. That would be an indication that there was perhaps a mold leak. So you need to go kick the tires. It's kind of like buying a car without actually seeing it first. It's really better to test drive a car and see how it rides. Same thing with renting a house. It's better to go see it before you rent it. Next caller is area code 208.
Hello, Jackie. My name's Jim. I live up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho right now. And it's going to be probably another 4 years before I can make the move. So I was going to try to get down there over the summer. And I was interested in the private tours. Mainly I'm interested in Volcan and Boquete. How many days do you think I should allow for this trip to pull that off?
So I would recommend that, so you don't feel rushed and exhausted where you need a vacation from your vacation, I would recommend that you plan on 2 days in Volcan and 2 days in Boquete, and maybe also include either have Volcan or Boquete private tour give you another day in David. And the reason I say that is if you live anywhere in Cherokee Province, whether it's Boquete, Volcan, Boca Chica, Puerto Amuez, or wherever you live, you're going to be spending some time in David. That's where we have PriceSmart, which is like a Costco. It's where the malls are. It's where the bigger grocery stores and bigger shopping centers are. It's where our big hospitals are. So it'd be good to have a private tour guide just show you the lay of the land and show where some of those things are, take you into a PriceSmart and show you around. And that helps you determine what's available here. Does Panama have the things that you'd like? And it helps you determine what you might want to ship or not ship with you. So I would say 2 days in Bulacan, 2 days in Boquete, and within that 4 days, make David part of the schedule.
Okay, and how long does it take to drive from Bulacan to Boquete?
An hour and 15 minutes.
Okay, and I had one other question. I've looked at real estate listings down there. It doesn't look as if garages are all that common. I like to do a lot of woodworking, so obviously I can't set that up in my living room. You know, I need some place for my tools. Is that
some houses have garages, but it's not very common. You can always have, if you rented a house and you got permission from the landlord, you might be able to put a garage in. But they do have little workshops that you can rent also where you could keep your tools and do woodworking and things.
Yeah, that's my main worry. Okay, well, that's good enough. I appreciate it, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in today. Next caller is Dave. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Thanks for taking my call. My question is about your tour book. It seems like the hard copy tour book on your tour is different than the online relocation
book.
Yes,
that's right.
If my wife and I come and take a private tour, will we be able to get a tour book so that we have something in hand that we can look at and take notes in? I'm concerned about being able to access something if it's just on the internet.
I have some that I already printed up for tours that got canceled. So it depends on where you're going to be doing your private tour, but I do have some that are available that I could get to the location where you're going to be. The online Panama Relocation Tour Guide is actually much more comprehensive than the tour book is.
Okay.
But the basis of the online guide was actually the information in the tour book. The online version is much more comprehensive.
Okay, yeah, like I said, we'd like to have something on paper to look at and refer to and take notes on while we're riding around in the car.
Let us know when you're coming and where we can make it happen.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller is Martha.
Hi, this is Martha in Iowa. I have a couple of questions. The first is, if one comes in on a pensionado visa, is it possible to bring in adult children? When I say adult children, I mean over the age of like 24, to bring them in connected to that visa, or is that not possible?
You could do that, but I wouldn't advise doing it. And let me tell you the reason why, because if they actually ever wanted to move to Panama, remember with a pensionado visa, you can't get a work permit, so they wouldn't be able to work. So it might would be better if they got a friendly nation visa.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, you know, if they came in on the pensionado, and then I was thinking then if they, because they both have some online stuff that they do, and I thought
if they have an online business and they could just be a dependent on your pensionado visa, that would be okay if they have an online business. Just know that they'd never be able to work or sell a product or service in Panama.
So if then later on they decided that they did want to, and I understand that, you know, they would have to go back through the process again, would that impact then my portion of the pensionado visa or only them?
No, only them. So what they would have to do if they decided they wanted to get a different visa later is first they would have to renounce their pensionado visa, then they'd have to get all new paperwork, all new attorney fees to apply for a friendly nation visa, assuming that later the friendly nation visa would even be available. The pensionado visa, it's not going to go away, but the friendly nation visa, it could. So anybody that's thinking about the friendly nation visa should get it sooner rather than later.
Okay, and my other question is just a quick question, is that I know there's some residency requirements once you get your visa that you can only be out of the country for so long, right? So what is the period of time?
It used to be the rules that you couldn't be out of Panama for more than 2 years, but they recently changed the rules now that you can't be out of Panama for more than 5 years.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Super easy.
Great. Thank you so
much. Super easy. Yep. Next caller, air code 954.
Hi, Jackie. Susan and I would have been on the tour in July, but obviously it was canceled. Our closest embassy is Miami, and I'm concerned about this friendly visa issue. So to get an attorney to start the process, would it be advisable to buy the online guide, or could you send me the name of an attorney? What would you recommend?
Well, there's a lot more to it than just getting a visa. There's a lot more information that you need to know, and that's the online guide has all of that information. All the things that you would have learned on that July tour are in that online guide. For the whole 7 days of the tour, we put all that information in the online guide. And I think that you'll just feel more comfortable about making a decision to even get a visa or move to Panama if you have that information. So I would recommend that you get that. Yeah, if you just want the attorney, you could send us an email, and we could certainly give that to you since your tour was canceled. But I would encourage you to get the online guide because there's additional information that you're going to need, like where do you get health insurance? How do you buy a car? How do you ship household goods here? How do you get mail in Panama? So there's all kinds of other things.
Yeah, we are on the list, first available.
Okay.
To come back.
Okay. Well, when we start doing tours again, we will certainly let you know.
Well, that would be fantastic.
Okay.
And
remember, anybody that had a tour that was canceled, they get first priority on any openings that we have.
I understand that. Thank you very much. Another question is it cheaper to be married to get the friendly visa or single? What would you recommend?
It's much cheaper to be married because then it's for the friendly nation visa, it's going to be $1,700 in attorney fees whether you're single or you're married. If you apply as two single people, then they each pay $1,700. So it'll cost another $1,700 if you apply as two singles instead of a married couple.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling in. Next caller is Teresa. By the way, everybody, we have, I think, 5 more people total, and then we're going to call it a day. So thanks for hanging with me. Teresa, go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. I'm Teresa from Carn City, Pennsylvania. And my question is, when a person is trying to get a visa, an approval for the visa, and they have to do the FBI report, if they have a less than perfect credit report, does that affect in a negative way them being able to get the visa or being allowed to come into Panama?
Absolutely not. They don't even care about your credit report. They never look at it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're going to sleep good tonight, right?
Yes.
Next caller is Judith. Go ahead. Area code 570. I've unmuted your line. Go ahead. I think I'm going to have to come back to you. Your line must be muted. We're going to go to Ricky in the Philippines. Go ahead.
Jackie, can you hear me?
I can hear you this time, yes.
Hey, you know, what it was is those people that you think are muted, we're not, but we could hear you, and only reason you can hear me now, I dialed out and called back in, just so you know.
Okay.
On the, yeah, really. Hey, isn't, you know, as far as your FBI clearance, here in the Philippines, we got an NBI clearance, and I've been a resident here for over 5 years. So isn't that all I need, or doesn't it only go back 5 years?
It just goes back 5 years. You can get the one from the Philippines, yep.
Okay, that's great. And one more question. You know, these people, it's wild, but these people, when I go there, my wife is the one that will have the bank account. It'll be in her name as a Philippine citizen. These people here don't have income tax, and they've never filed it in their lives. So will she still need something to that effect?
She's going to need something. You'd have to contact the bank manager and they'll tell you what they need. Yeah, so
yeah,
maybe it's not going to be a problem.
Get some government office to just say she doesn't owe nothing. Okay, well, hey, thank you so much, and appreciate you hanging on for me so I could ask questions.
Thanks for calling in, Ricky. We got 1, 2, 3 more people. Area code 815, go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Mark. Can you hear me?
I can hear you great. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. My fiance called in a couple weeks ago for the first time, so we're really kind of newbies. We've been doing a ton of research. I'm actually currently writing a list of questions for you to send by email, obviously. I'm trying to find some of the most important questions. Some of them have been answered today. This one's kind of a weird one, and someone just kind of touched on it, but on the Friendly Nation visa. We're not married. For certain reasons, we haven't been married yet, but we're thinking we're going to come in on the pensionado visa when we come. The situation is I'm on disability, but it's permanent, and so I don't have to worry about that part of it. But Michelle would not probably. She's only 55, if we came in as singles and not married, would she have to file separately for a pensionado visa, and then she would not be able to qualify because she doesn't have Social Security or anything like that yet?
That's correct. It sounds like she would not qualify for the pensionado visa. She'd have to go with the Friendly Nation visa.
Okay. Now, say if we were to get married, because we've put the idea off only because of certain issues, financial reasons, veterans benefits, things like that. So once we move to Panama, I'm not going to have veterans benefits anymore anyway because they don't have that there.
Absolutely.
So
actually, they do. Veterans do have benefits here. Yes.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay, well, that's yeah. Interesting. But even though still, it seems that from everything we've been hearing and reading is that the health care there is very reasonable, even if you don't have insurance. You know, would it be beneficial, do you think, and I know this is probably a little personal question, is if we were to just get married before we move there, that way we can file through the pensionado visa as a married couple, and then she wouldn't have to worry about having that. Because you only have to have proof is $1,000 income a month for a couple, correct?
No, it's $1,000 a month for one person. For a couple, it's $1,250 a month you would need in income to qualify. The other thing that you could consider doing is you could wait and get married in Panama. You just go to the notary public. I think it's $50. You could get married here and then do your application process.
Oh, well, that's something I never thought of either. You know, because that was the one thing I was curious about, because I know you say you got to get a temporary visa, but like we were going to come and visit for a couple of weeks on a vacation to try to check two different areas out for maybe a week each. Mm-hmm. And then we wouldn't have to need a temporary visa for that, but if we were planning on moving there, we would automatically have to get a temporary visa as soon as we got there, correct, more or less?
You don't have to get the temporary visa. You can stay for 6 months as a tourist.
That's what I thought.
You can check the country out. But then whenever you get ready to get your visa, you need to get it. You don't have to get it immediately whenever you first get here. The documents that you'll gather up for qualifying for the visa expire within 6 months. So you just need to get your visa before those documents expire. The FBI report, the disability letter, all those different things.
Right.
They have to be less than 6 months old when you apply. So you could come here, get your house, get settled in, and then apply for your visa. So there's not, it's not a big rush, other than that six, that you don't want the documents to expire.
Sure, I understand that. And one last quick question. I know you got a couple more people waiting. I recently just got a background check from our local county sheriff's department and our local police department because I do have a lot of volunteering here. And would that, I mean, it's been within 6 months, so I'm
nope.
assuming, but
nope.
that
it has
won't
to
work.
Be, but it has to be a national criminal report. It has to be FBI.
Okay, well, because I was looking at the channeling thing while you guys were, you know, talking about it, and actually the county sheriff and the local police department fall under the National Background Check Incorporated as places you can go to get that stuff done. So I'll have to look into that more. But I,
but
I
they're
would,
gonna
anyways.
They're gonna give you a completely different document. It'll actually say FBI right on the top of it. So we've got this caller and one more. Mary Ann, go right ahead.
Howdy, howdy again. What's the minimum number of days a person could book a private tour?
We recommend that you do, you could do just one, but I really recommend that you do two. Because if you do one, you'd probably want to start at 7 in the morning, go till 7 at night, and you'd be exhausted. And it's better to do a two-day tour. So you could do just two.
Okie dokie. And when I take when I take the Panama relocation tour in next August and receive the guide, will I then also have access to the online guide?
No, not with the tours. The tour, the people that go on a regular Panama relocation tour, we give you a special tour book that you get at that time, and it has a lot of the same information that you'll get in the online guide.
Okay, I just wondered because you said the online guide is more extensive, so I'm wondering if you know, that would, then I would have to buy that additionally.
But you, if you go on the tour, you're not going to need it. You're not going to need that extensive information. You're going to get that information during the tour.
Okay, thank you. And how do you spell apostille? I couldn't tell what word you were saying. Apostille?
Apostille, it's A-P-O-S-T-I-L-L-E, apostille.
Oh, okay, right. Okay, thanks again, Jackie. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, you, Marianne. And our final caller for the day is area code 757. Thank you for waiting for so long to get your question answered.
Hi, Jackie. This is Albert. The question I have is, friend of nation visa via or vice the pensionado at age 60. What is the difference other than you can't work or stuff like that? I already know.
Well, the big difference is that the pensionado visa is much more affordable. It's much more affordable. You don't need a corporation. You don't have to set up a bank account.
Well,
so
see, the corporation, the bank account and stuff, I already have there because I worked there back in 95 to 2000. I knew it was coming there, so those things I already have property there as well.
Now, also with the pensionado visa, they waive all the government fees, so it's a cheaper visa to get as the pensionado visa.
Okay. But as far as discounts and all of those things, they're the same because of the age?
Yep, discounts are exactly the same.
Okay. That's all I really had. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for your patience. I'm sorry that it took a long time to get to your question.
No, that's
so
okay.
I want to thank everybody so much for being on the call today. I know that I threw a lot of information at you in a very short period of time about getting a visa. And some of it might seem about as clear as mud right now. So Texas saying clear as mud might be a little bit confusing. Just know that whenever you hire an immigration attorney, they're going to give you a list of all the documents you need. They're going to hold your hand through the whole process. They're going to make sure that you walk away with that golden card, that your visa that allows you to live in Panama indefinitely. So if you're working with one of the attorneys that we recommend, I know they're going to take care of you and everything will be just fine. So thanks again for being on the call this Saturday. I'll be back next Saturday with another conference call. Good night, everybody. Have a good weekend.